You can go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 here. It says, giving thanks to the Father, which have made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Notice that the Father's made you worthy. So anytime you start thinking, the devil starts lying to you, whispering in your ear, you start having the thoughts, well, I'm not worthy, I'm nothing. Notice it's the Father that made you worthy. He made you meet. He made you fit to be a partaker. Notice of the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, now here's the thing. If you're a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, guess that what makes you? That makes you a saint in light, right? If you have an inheritance with them, that means you're one of them. You are a saint in light, whether you want to believe it or not. You were once in darkness, but now you're in light. He goes on and he says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Notice this, that he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He has already delivered us from the power of darkness. It's already done. It's a done deal. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, at that moment you were delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and delivered over into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, a lot of folks don't act like they've been delivered. Come on now. A lot of folks still act like the world and that. But the Bible teaches us that we were translated. What's that mean? That means just an instantaneous from dark to light. Hallelujah. Now it takes us a little while. You ever wake up in the morning, you know, and the sun shining in the window? It takes you just a little bit to get your eyes open in the light, right? Come on now. You be in a dark room, somebody turn on the lights. Maybe you've been asleep and all of a sudden you're kind of trying to get your eyes adjusted. I kind of think about that when I think about us Christians. When God translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, we were used to that kingdom. Come on, we were used to operating in that kingdom. We were used to seeing in that kingdom. Most of it was negative, death, and all that. When we got translated over into the kingdom of light, now all of a sudden, we're hearing that we have life, we have blessing, we have prosperity, we have healing, we're hearing all this, and it's a little hard for us to get adjusted to it. We're hearing that we're supposed to be talking positive about ourselves, not death about ourselves. We hear that we've been delivered from all that and been translated into a new kingdom that operates differently. Come on. See, the kingdom of darkness operates and it's got its rulers and reigns and all that stuff. And that's what caused you to be in the darkness you were in. But now the kingdom of heaven also has authority, has a ruling reign in it. And so when we start looking at that and see, we're over in that kingdom now. We don't have to, no longer do we listen to the principalities and all this stuff. Now we're listening to the Word of God. We're listening to the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us. That still small voice is what's leading, guiding, and directing us now. And it takes us a little bit because sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you to do some things or speak to you in a way that it takes you a little bit to get adjusted to that. You've been so long hearing this that now you're starting to hear this, right? I talked about, you know, the other day, talking about watching her mouth. You've been so long to hearing that you're starved to death that it's hard when you get over in this kingdom not to say you're starving to death. Come on, right? You've got to change that word. So it's a change of kingdom. It's only the cross of you. Immediately you're delivered. In Christ Jesus, you become a new creature. But the body, that's the thing that almost on a daily basis we have to deal with. The kingdom of darkness, because in a way, you don't understand this body right here. What's mostly worldly in the kingdom of light? See, man, will approach pretty well. We'll go with us. Now you're over here, it's the Spirit. He's the one that's calling the shot. Social blind with the Spirit, but also about this act of life. You know, even though we've already delivered, we should have done that. So they will remember I've already been delivered. So I don't know what I'm going to do. And see, that's the thing. A lot of times, those old cravings, your mind, your will, and emotion will get lined back up with your body and your spirit man. You have to listen to the spirit man and do what he tells you to do. Because he's going to lead you in the right direction. So he said that he's already delivered us to carry around and we don't have to walk all that stuff. Amen. So like they're spiritual or feel like they ought to have to carry that stuff around. But you don't have to carry around and what says. That is there now what? No condemnation. That's Jesus, right? But he says, who walk by active fish, but after spirit free from the loss and death. In other words, the law is pretty. See that? You've been delivered for that. You don't have to carry that around anymore. You don't have Jesus Christ, no matter how guilty you were. No, I won't pass again. That was thrown into the depths of the sea. Never been rigged. That's what's happening to your mind and mood. Because that's what you don't have to run back up. You remember what you did back to you. Everybody remember that? I don't care if everybody remembers it or not. If I got set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am now innocent of that crime. Come on now. It don't matter what anybody else thinks about it. If God says I'm innocent, I'm innocent. Praise God. And I'm going to walk in that freedom. See, a lot of folk will try to drag you to keep you from living the life God wants you to live. They'll even try to pull you over into religion. Amen. You know, it's kind of comical in a way. I got on a thread, I guess it's called a thread today, and with one of the groups, and it's a worship group. And some guy got on there just asking everybody, apparently his pastor still went into a fit. I mean, they were going crazy, but he just wouldn't pray. He was trying to get people to pray him. He tried to get that's the truth, what's the preach? But they were just like, you know, he's a worship leader. But all on the earth, he just didn't say, and you worship, he says, come on, church. Send me peace and come on, you're done. I mean, I just went on and on. I thought, man, just so formal. Don't you do everything? Set up the block. Be like the nitpick. So you have to understand, as long as you know you've done the right thing, you can do that's all that matters. You've done everything you could, but you've gotten that way. And I said, we love worship. We do the best for you and others. Some do the best for you. It's pleasing. It's nice, but we're doing pleasing. That's what's that. And so you've got to understand that condemnation that comes and all that stuff, that's not of God. Amen. Now, if you're doing something wrong and you get convicted about it, that is God. But I'm just talking about when you know you're doing the best for God, you know that you've been set free from this old law of sin and death. It doesn't have any hold on you anymore. You're now living in the spirit of life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Already are. Look at your neighbor, say, you already are.
It doesn't matter what enemies say, it doesn't matter what people say. You know, you're already living there. What crap? Because you are not perfect. You are perfect all the time. And, you know, in some of the national circles, say, how about we live above sin? How about live the times that we make sense? Some of them are sins of sin, omission. You know, things that we should have done, we didn't do. You know, so when we're living this life that we're living, you've got to go back to the Word of God. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're not saying all the to the brother. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're not deceiving ourselves. Right? But then it goes on to say, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just in righteousness. Isn't that good news? If we confess our sin. In other words, John's telling us, he's don't go around acting like you don't ever mess up. Because you're deceiving yourself.
Well, if you confess that you messed up, he's faithful and just going over in chapter 2. He said, little children. He's talking to us. I do sin, don't sin, but goes on and he says, I will that you sin not. Sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, not for ours only, but also the sin of the whole world. The blood of Jesus cleanses anyone and everything if you just ask. Amen. Isn't that good news? No matter what, the advocate is a stand-in, a lawyer, our attorney, magician, done under my blood. They're not telling you what you're saying. It's been forgiven. Sorry.
So if you mess up, then we should go back to the Word and see this, and then we just say, we've fallen righteousness. Guess what?
Once again, instantaneously.
Just like you got translated instantaneously, all of a sudden, there's no more record. A record. Even after you're born again, God's not going to say, I mean, that kind of God is. People back all this. I can't see fast enough. God, you can fall back. I'm not going to do something fast. I regret so much more. If we get on, thank God for that. Come on, I'm glad for it. I'll show you something here. I thank God for forgiveness.
Oh, we're talking about deliverance and how God has delivered the truth here.
It says, you're all right. And he said, but we have it. And we're all right. The sin of death was that we should not trust in ourselves. But in God, he raised it.
Now, listen to this. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
He did it. He delivered us from death. Who doth deliver, we serve not there. He done it. That kind of God I want to serve. Now, so here's the thing about this, old folks. Just because we know, that's because we know God delivers, and we have 1 John 1, 9, confess our sins. And that's where people get so talking to them to understand. But here's the thing about this. God has more legends there. He wants us to live this life out and enjoy this life. But you know, that's why grace is that. Grace keeps you and I from having to go back to the or want to hear from offering sin. Jesus Christ was only the throne room. I'll get in here in a minute. There was the outer court and the inner court, and then there was. He went into the Holy of Holies, and he sprinkled his own blood on the altar there. And that blood, amen. And that blood is still saying today, and still delivering today. But because of that, he also understands that grace is the thing that he's cured. Especially like credit cards. A lot of them have a grace period for 2 and 19, but you have a grace period for 5 days. You get paid within 5 days. You see, grace is kind of like that. When you mess up, God's in you. I'm not going to be kind of fine on God. But the grace is there, and that grace is giving you a chance to continue to be more than righteous. That grace is there to save us, to keep us, so that we can keep that.
Understand that. And so that's what grace is about.
So many people take it so far to think that once they're under grace, then that's not the kind of lifestyle God wants his kids to live.
He says, God, he expects you to display the righteousness of God. Watch Jesus like a hawk trying to find some kind of fault in him. They accuse him of really hating him because he didn't do what they thought he would do. So they can see if they find something wrong with him. Right? They want you to be nice because of the righteousness of God. God wants you and I want them any ammunition to use on us because we're staying inside. Come on, see, the world wants the devil to accuse us. The devil wants to accuse us. And people, of course, are driven by this. But you see there, if they're going to heaven, then everybody will use the world. You know, you black people, you're supposed to be the Christians. And that's what the things. And you're like, well, man, if they're going to heaven, everybody, I ain't got no problem. See, but here's the thing. All they got is the life. So we're supposed to make Jesus Lord of our life and then live in the temple over here. I know they're talking to you younger, but you just live life in front of them. You live the Christ in us. They know they're something about us. And the way you look, and, you know, I got a good bit on my back. I had my suit on, and I was in one of the stores, and I was just hanging around. I was like, myself. Okay. Oh, she said, you're acting really this. Things like that. They just get really this all of a sudden. You know, imagine they're supposed to go to the Bible too late. Or some again. Right? I'm not curious. You think? So you're Christianity. And sometimes I'm telling you to get tested. Right? That they go on and just kind of test that. But you and I are, because we're delivered, because that we see all this, we see somebody that's doing some things, whatever. But you and I realize God forgives us, but we're not using it as an occasion to sin. Paul talks about that. He says, chapter 10 along this line, verse 26, this is the precept of the knowledge of the truth. There remains no more sacrifice and indignation, which are the fire of the adversaries. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall God, and have handed the blood of the covenant, for which he was sanctified, through the grace. But that's tough. As you know, I've stuff before. And see, this is where grace is. It's not, when you start setting sights, you take this and add this over where it's talking about once that you tasted the gift of God and of the power of the world to come. If then we sin, we mess up, walk away from God, it talks about there's no sacrifice for sin again. You see what he's talking about? He's not talking about you messing up. He's talking about somebody that knows for a fact that there's a God, knows for a fact that they've been saved. And they turn their back on God and walk away from God, never to serve Him again. You see, that's the great thing about grace. Is grace is there. But if you turn your back on that grace and walk away from God and just, I don't believe in God no more. I don't believe there is a God. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to serve God. I'm just, then see what you're doing is you're denying Him. And once you deny Him, and you know He's true, then you're refusing Him. And when you refuse Him, then you're into this area now where, you know, you're not, there is no more forgiveness of sin. In other words, you've gone too far. Amen. You knew better, and you walked away from that and stayed away from it. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about Esau, you know, crying after he gave up his birthright. So we need to be careful that we don't give up our birthright, this new birthright. We need to make sure we keep walking. And I've had a lot of people come to me and say, I'm afraid that I've done so much. I'm afraid God won't forgive me again. Listen, if you're convicted in your heart, wanting to come back to God, you're afraid that you messed up, then most likely you're in good shape. Come on now, because if you've gone so far that there's no more repentance from sin, you're probably not going to be convicted about it. You're not going to worry about it anymore because you just made up your mind, there is no God, I'm walking away from God. As long as the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, I believe it's God speaking to you, and I believe you have an opportunity to repent, rededicate your life now. That's, you know, you can take that how you want to. Okay, thank God for His forgiveness. I believe sometimes people go a long way, and they're out there a long way. But I believe that they can turn around and come back, and it's just one step back to God. Just ask for forgiveness. Thank God for that. So we don't, and even though knowing that still doesn't give us a right to go out there and just willfully sin. Just go do what we want to do. No, thank God for, you know, it's kind of like people burn their house down because they got insurance. You know, these folks that does that. Around here, the insurance is high because so many people burnt their house down because they had insurance. Having insurance on your house is not a reason to burn it. Right? Having grace in your life is not a reason to sin. Amen. It's there for you. Thank God it's there for you. If you got to have it, it's there. But you don't abuse it. Amen. Praise God. So we have to look at it kind of from that standpoint, from that point of view. So we know that we're the righteousness of God, right? Because He was made to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's hard for a lot of folks to get a hold of. Just to know that they're the righteousness of God. Know that they have right standing with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, they let that guilt and condemnation come on them. And they can't see themselves as righteous. But we are.
You know, I mean, a lot of places they sing songs of just pure condemnation. They sing about how they're just old sinners and that kind of thing. You're not a sinner anymore. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you're not a sinner, you're a saint. Amen. Hallelujah. See, that's wonderful news from the Word of God. But we know we're the righteousness of God. We know we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, right? See, you ought to know that. I can remember many years when you'd ask somebody that they, are you saved? Well, I sure hope so. Man, I don't want to go on a hope so. I want to be a know so, don't you? But you see, we're never taught that we were saved according to what the Word said, not according to what we felt. Because see, a lot of times salvation was, you know, how you felt. You know, when you come up to the altar, how you felt. You know, it's not got a thing in the world about to do with emotions when you come to the altar about being born again. It's about doing what the Word of God says, confessing the Word over your life. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I confess Him as my Lord. You did what the Bible says. You're saved. Amen. Listen, I've been around long enough. And I'll use his name here in a minute because I love him so much. But I can remember one particular person. I can see him in my mind right now. They came to this church, gave their life to the Lord. I even prayed with them. Man, they hit the floor. They was the most excited person in this world. And then they left here and their family got a hold of them. See, because all the talk that, you know, you don't go up there. And never saw them again. Don't even know that they're even in church anywhere or anything. Showed all, I mean, cried, and it was just, you know. You'd have said, that person is saved right there. And I watched Bill Hyatt walk up. Little Bill. He walked up, no emotion. I said, what you need, Bill? He said, I want to give my life to the Lord. I said, pray this sign with him, this prayer with me. He prayed that prayer. I said, Bill, you're a born-again child of God. Throwed his hand up and turned around and walked back to his seat. You know what? He's still here. Didn't show no emotion. Didn't cry. Didn't snot. Now, I'm not saying Bill's not an emotion. I'm just saying he didn't show any when he gave his life to the Lord. And he's still right there and been one of the biggest helps that we've ever had in this church. Always has. He's there and he would right now if he can. You see. So it's not God. It's not about the emotional. It's about doing what the Word says. And a lot of people have a hard time getting a hold of that it's the blood of Jesus that redeems us. And we're saved that way because of the Word and not because of emotion or any how we were feeling. Anybody besides me at times feel like I don't even know I'm saved today? I felt like that before. Some of you might not have ever, but there have been some times that I just kind of was there. Now, it's been a long time since it's been that way because I've learned the Word. But I can remember back in the day when I would just wonder, you know, am I just making all this up in my mind? I might be just a little freaky. I don't know. Maybe you all never have done anything like that. But, you know, but I know because of the Word now. I didn't know at that time. I was going more on emotion than all that kind of thing, right? We live a repentive lifestyle because we're saved. Not trying to get saved. We're living a repentive lifestyle because we are saved. We do work because we are saved. We don't work our way into salvation. We do work because we are saved. I'm saved in the kingdom of God, and now I want to do the things that are pleasing to Him. I have the Holy Spirit now to lead me and guide me in the direction that God wants me to go and the things that He would have me to do. We've got to get a hold of that and understand that. Now, look with me over here at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. I'll get there just in a second. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 says this, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that we were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith is Godward. Also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Delivered us from the wrath to come. See, what I want you to see here is that we've been delivered from the wrath to come. In all that he's talking about, you know, we came in here, now everybody's talking about your faith, and we know it was because of the Lord Jesus Christ who delivered you and has also delivered you from the wrath to come. Folks say, well, what do you think about the rapture? You think we're going to be pre-trib, mid-trib, end of it, and all this kind of thing? And I always just use this scripture. The Bible says that God has delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, how far that goes, I don't know. But I believe the children of God, I believe the church has already been delivered from that wrath to come. I believe when that thing starts happening, we're out of here. Amen. I like what some of the experts in Revelation say. They say by chapter 4, the church is gone. And I want to go with that. And I'm going to believe the word that we've been delivered. Because I hear people all the time saying, well, now you just never know what all we'll have to go through. Well, there might be some things that we do. But we're not going through the wrath like the world's going to go through. We're going to be delivered from that because he already has delivered us from that. Praise God. So I'm excited about that, aren't you? I'm excited about the fact that God has already done it for us. He's already given us the deliverance that we need in this life. Not only for this life, but also for life after. When he comes to get his church and take us home. Praise God. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Deliverance. God hath already delivered you. Lift up your hands. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We bless you and give you glory and honor for already delivering us, Father, from all the things that we would be snared by or caught up by. Thank you, Father God, Lord, that you've given us a life of freedom, a life of blessing. Thank you, Father God, Lord, that you've given us the good life. And we want to live it with all that's in us. And so, Father, help us always to be remembering that you did it all for us so that we could be like you. Help us to be like you in every moment that we live. And we give you glory and praise and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Anybody in here need prayer before we leave? Need us to lay hands on, believe God with you for anything? All right. Just reach your hands. If you don't need to come, reach your hands right up towards Sister Vivian here.